I'm Brenda Fisher, Talent and Literary Manager.
And I'm Jacqueline Reynolds, Chief Digital Talent Officer at RSA Entertainment.
Our podcast, Badass Babes of Entertainment, will discuss the entertainment industry and the challenges facing today's actors, influencers, brands, and content creators. Sarah Lukasiewicz.
Okay. Nailed the New York Jew in there. So
oh, did I?
That was
okay.
Spot on.
Look at me go. I'm so proud of myself today. So Sarah Lukasiewicz, who is part of Team RSA, we love her so much. And she is a fabulous badass babe because she's also a writer on the show Grown-ish, which I absolutely love. We are so excited because we just had another Team RSA person book Grown-ish. So shout out to Adam Wasser, who is going to be on an episode of Grown-ish. We are so stinking excited. Love, love that show. And we love your journey. We can't be more proud than we are of you because you have really worked your butt off and made it happen. You're living the dream, girl.
I wish everyone could see me smiling. It feels so nice to see you say that because I wouldn't have been able to take the route that I have if I didn't have the support of you and Gina. So that was really key to me incorporating writing into what I do.
Aww.
So thanks. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. We are all about everyone's success. And oh my gosh, we are just like so proud to say that one of our clients is a writer on Grown-ish. So exciting. Woo!
Should I tell my journey so that those listening know?
Yes. I want to know.
Yeah.
So I am signed with RSA as an actress, and that's what I've been doing. I've booked commercials and TV and been pursuing that, done improv and stand-up, everything in the performance arena. And I got the incredible opportunity through a friend to be a part of a writer's group. And I had written sketch and dabbled in that world a little bit. And I really didn't know anything about the TV world. And he said, okay, you're going to take over for me as the assistant on this show when I get promoted. And so he trained me and was able to get me the interview for the job. And so I started off as a showrunner assistant, but that was very full-time and a position where they need you there. They don't care if you're an actor. In fact, I think being an actor doesn't help you in that situation. And so I came to Brenda and Gina and I said, listen, this is an opportunity for me to see the world from a different point of view and to be able to watch the casting process from the other side and to be able to learn in a different way and make connections in a different way other than just going to casting workshops, which we've all done and they're important, but they also can be a little brutal. And so you two were incredibly supportive of me. And I started working as an assistant. And then once I got a handle on that, I came back to you and I said, okay, I'm ready to do the split and do the auditioning at the same time as I'm doing this gig. And it snowballed from there. And one thing led to another. After working as an assistant in different rooms, my writing partner and I finally got staffed on Grown-ish, which is an absolutely incredible opportunity. And then simultaneously, I'm continuing to audition and book roles, which is really just a dream come true for me.
That's awesome. We love that you've had this opportunity to be on this journey, and we're always going to be 100% supportive. We want everyone to succeed. When these opportunities come along, it's like you've got to jump on them and take it and run with it and see where it goes. I love that we could support you on that journey. And now look at you. It's just so incredible. And Grown-ish is doing so well. Such a great show. Love the writing on it. Kudos to you, Sarah.
Thank you. Actually, I left out one part as I'm recalling all this. You stuck with me, but my agents dropped me when that happened. And So I don't know if you remember that. And so that was a little devastating, but now obviously with new representation and still being with you, it was absolutely the right choice because if I never took this opportunity just because my agents at the time were going to drop me, then I don't know that I would have had the experience I've had and been on the shows I've had and had the connections that I've had. And so I think it's just a reminder that it's hard as actors and writers to not cling to something you have, but sometimes you have to let go of things for the greater good.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that we could be supportive and help you through that. We're extremely loyal, and I think you know that. And so it's exciting for us. Anytime we see someone really succeed out there, we feel like even though on the writing side you took that and ran with it yourself, we still feel like we're part of it because we're watching you grow and succeed and do your thing. Yeah.
100%. So. You need a team of people out here. Everyone knows this, be it the other actors who you read your scenes with and practice your auditions with, or your writing group, or your team who says, yes, these headshots, no, that hair color, yes, this is a good opportunity for you. You need a team of people. And so it's important that you surround yourself with the right supportive people.
So what advice would you give to other people in the industry that are wanting to be writers on a show and are hoping to do the same journey that you did?
I would say there's no right path, but the one thing that is consistent, that's a must, is you must have your material ready to go. And so what's cool about that and what's empowering about that is, as a writer, you're the number one thing. Actors need scripts to be cast in, directors need scripts to direct, et cetera, et cetera. But writing, you can do tomorrow. You can do it on your own. You don't need anyone else. And if you start writing and you write every day, you're a writer. And so that is what I would say, is that make sure you're writing every day, make sure you have your materials, and definitely get into a class. There are so many opportunities, or get with someone else to have read your stuff. But that's the number one thing, is to have material that is solid and ready to go, because there is no one right path. Some people, like myself, come up through the assistant ranks and then get promoted from within, from doing that work. But some people go out and pitch scripts cold because they know the producer. Brenda, I know you're taking people and really bringing them to the next level. But the one thing that's consistent throughout all is you have to have a product. You have to have material that is solid and ready to go.
Absolutely. Very helpful. Megan Badass over here, Megan Katz, AKA Megan Badass, is also a writer and working on some scripts as well. Do you have any questions for Miss Sarah?
I don't know if I have any questions, just a comment to reiterate what you said, Sarah, about taking classes, how that transformed my writing from going to just having my friends read it, who are amazing and free, to actually paying someone who knows what they're doing, but also to find the right person. I don't know how many classes I took until I found the one that connected with me and just made sense for me. And I was like, wow, this is so different. My script is just transformed going from one teacher to the one that really resonated with me. So any advice to people that want to really do anything, writing, finding the right therapist or boyfriend, it's just who's right for you. So don't give up because you didn't like the first teacher. Don't give up because the first person that read your script didn't resonate with it. Like, mine's very female oriented, and all the men that read it were like, I don't really get it, or you should have some more men in it. And I was like, okay, then you're just not seeing the vision. That doesn't mean that the script's bad. You just don't get it.
That's right. It's trial and error.
Yeah, definitely.
And sometimes you do have to have someone that would actually be the audience for it to really get it, rather than trying to make somebody understand that just isn't the right audience for it.
I do have a question. So in the writer's room, you can always do some classes, or your friends can get together and do a mock writer's room. But I'm curious, do you find it more fun? Is everyone joking and laughing the whole time and you're just throwing out crazy stuff? Or did you feel intimidated your first couple of weeks? You're like, I don't want to speak up. Like, what's the vibe in the rooms?
Such a good question. It really varies often from room to room. And I'd say it's more of an organized chaos. So there is a lot of pitching that happens, and a lot of jokes, and a lot of what we call blue skying, which is when we're trying to break the beginning of a season. and that can be very fun. There's also a very specific hierarchy in a room that goes from the showrunner all the way down to the staff writers. And so you have to be aware of that. I was definitely intimidated when I was first staffed as a staff writer, but I had the added benefit and experience of being staffed on a show that I was an assistant on for 2 years. So I knew most of the people. I had pitched in the room before. I got already a practice run at being a staff writer because I was in a room with the most gracious people and the most incredible writers who really gave the assistants an opportunity and really wanted to hear our voice, which is not always the case. So I feel incredibly lucky that I was in the room that I was in. And I'm very grateful to my showrunner who created that environment. But they're not all like that. And so, of course, it's nerve-wracking because at the end of the day, in the beginning, you're pitching jokes and it's a good time. But at the end of the day, when you've been in the room till midnight and you're on rewrites of a script, pitching joke after joke that didn't work, and there's a scene shooting tomorrow, tensions are also very high and it can get really intense. So it's fun and games, but it also at the end of the day is a job.
Yep.
That makes sense.
It's work and they're counting on you for the success of the show. So no pressure at all.
Do you personally get to go to set a lot? Do you know a lot of the actors and the other talent, or are you just mainly the writer's room?
Right now it's quarantine time. So we have one executive producer who's on set repping all of the writers, but they're keeping pretty much everyone off set. In previous seasons, I was on set a lot. I think some writers are terrified of set and don't really like sitting there, being there, but coming from the acting world, I love being on set. I love have the back and forth of the director on notes for our actors and notes on performances that we want. And so it's something that I really love and thrive in, but I definitely know some writers who want nothing to do with being on set. Again, I think it's a show by show basis.
I could definitely see that. I could see writers are like, no, I picked writing for a reason. But I think personally, also being an actress, that it would be so fun to just spitball and be in that like chaotic environment and be able to pitch ideas and jokes at the last minute. Or you're also vibing off the actors as well.
Yeah, so. And we have an incredible cast on Grown-ish. And so there's never a lack of their own improv and everything at the end that always makes us laugh.
That's awesome. No, they seem like really fun people. And I know we have a recurring co-star on Grown-ish, and then we just had another person book it. So I'm always excited when someone gets on the show because I love it so much. I think it's so well done. Great stories. And it doesn't really matter how old you are because I'm definitely not college age. And I love watching it because it reminds me of what these kids go through and different challenges that they face. And it's life never turns out the way you plan. And this is a, great example of it and the struggles and the choices they have to make in their lives. And I just think it's so well done. So,
oh, thank you.
Yes. Thank you for that. I think it's so great.
Yeah. We have a great team. It's also fun because the problems are evergreen, right? All of the relationship problems and roommate issues, but they're in a world with cell phones and TikTok, yes, which is slightly different than my year of college. Yep. So it's fun to jump
or mine. For sure. Sarah, we look forward to seeing so much more from you in the future. And so I want to ask you a very important question. So I would like you to do Yes, I would like you to do a shout out to a badass babe in your world that has been super motivational and to help you get to where you are today.
Can I do two?
Sure. You can do whatever you want.
I keep thinking of two badass, or one. I can do one. I will say
the other one's going to be really sad now, though.
Danielle Hoopmer is an incredible actress. And you've seen her on everything from Scandal to Days of Our Lives to Grown-ish. And she is the woman who got me my first agent when I first moved out to Los Angeles and was a babe lost in the woods and had no idea what I was doing. And she said to me, and it has always stuck with me, we rise together.
Oh, I love that.
We rise together. And she has always been an incredible inspiration and an incredible helpful person to help guide myself through this industry. So Danielle Hootmer.
That is awesome. And today is Gloria Steinem's birthday. And I think she would really appreciate hearing that we rise together. Badass babes of entertainment, we rise together.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Sarah, thank you so much for being on Badass Babes of Entertainment.
Yeah, it was really nice to meet you, and hopefully I get to meet you in person.
Oh, yes. Yeah, for sure.
Very soon. Margaritas are calling our name.
It is so happening. You just let me know when.
I'm going to follow you on Instagram. What's your handle?
It is Sarah, S-A-R-A, there's no H, S-A-R-A underscore Lukasiewicz, L-U-K-A-S-I-E-W-I-C-Z. And Grown-ish seasons 1 through 3 are all out on Hulu, so you can catch up. And season 4 will be coming out sometime this summer. So check it out.
Welcome to Babe, also known as the Badass Babes of Entertainment. We'll be talking about everything industry related. If there is a topic you would like us to cover, just message us. We'll check our messages often. On Insta, you can message us at Babes of Entertainment. And also on Facebook, Babes of Entertainment. And on Twitter, BABE_podcast.
So this is Summer Moore, everybody. She is a fabulous producer, writer, and organizer of Rising Above Fest. It's a fest empowering women in the industry. And I thought that was right up our alley with Badass Babes of Entertainment because we are trying so hard to help empower other women and lift them up and show them that we can all work together and make this industry and this world a better place. Woohoo! So tell us more about what you do, what you've done, and about this fest.
I have done a lot. I started out as an actress, then went into writing, and then went into producing. And so all of that kind of couples together with my work in the entertainment industry of feeling adversity towards being a female and the different titles that I have. You get various different kinds of adversity. It's been really interesting depending on what you are. So all of that I brought together into a film festival that empowers females, kids and women and senior citizens all the way, all different age ranges, promoting them, helping them to feel secure and rising above obstacles and challenges that are thrown at them. So the festival itself we've had 2 installments of it. It's taken place at LA Live, and it represents the entertainment industry that also incorporates music and fashion.
Wow, that is amazing. And it sounds very cool. When might the next one be happening?
Well, so with COVID, obviously that wasn't something the event itself is a big production and it has a huge red carpet and it's all about being there in person. So it wasn't just one we could do online. Some people are watching film festivals. We have a panel full of celebrity women and women talking about what their experiences are and helping filmmakers and anybody that's attending on the adversities that they get. The last installment, we had a woman that's a Forbes 30 under 30. She's actually disabled as well, and she works in the industry, but she was able to talk about having disability and how that is to be able to encounter that as a woman as well. So it wasn't really an event that we were going to do online. And to be honest, it takes a lot of work. So the last installment, I took off an entire year of work, and that's all that I worked on. Oh. So I would love to have another one. I had a girl group that was involved called Girl Uplifters Team, which is all girls majority of them are in the entertainment industry.
Right.
That are actors on TV shows and movies and things like that are all working to try to empower girls at a young age to bring their self-esteem up and make it so that we all feel equal and confident I'd love to have them on board again. So the next installment, and that was a long-winded answer, sorry, was coming soon once COVID ends, and then we can get sponsors and get up and running again. I would love to do another one, and I want to make it bigger and better every single time we do it.
I love hearing about these types of events and programs. I was hearing about something else today about a writer's program as well, where writers on shows, that type of thing, are working with girls to do just that, uplift them and give them confidence and show them that they can do this. I think it's amazing. Anytime we can pay it forward, so to speak, and help other women, because somebody helped us. And one of the things that if I hear it, I'm like, my gosh, when you hear, and you know what I'm going to say, no one helped me on my way up. So why should I help you achieve your dreams? And it's, you know what, there's just no room for that anymore. It's, we have to help each other. And whether someone helped us or not, it's someone did, you just aren't really thinking about it. Maybe they helped you in small ways. And it takes a village. We didn't get here on our own. We just didn't. There's somebody in our lives, whether it be our moms, our grandmas, aunts, someone in our families, friends. There are other women out there, if you think about it, that have really helped all of us get where we're at. Even if you don't think you had somebody, thinking about helping someone else so that they don't have to go through the struggles that you went through. We need to really be positive and, like I said, pay it forward, because karma, honestly, I really am a big believer in karma, and what you put out there is what you get back. I feel like the harder I push to help other people, no matter if it works out well or not, I just feel like the universe brings me other really great, positive people. And that's what we need to do.
I feel like one of the things that I try to do is meditate on, if people are saying that they haven't had somebody help them, you start like the beginning of your life, even teachers, and review all of these people that were in your life that helped you with some lesson. And sometimes yes. The lessons aren't positive ones. The bad lessons are the ones we learn from, better than when everything's going wonderfully and la-di-da, and then you're not really paying attention to it because you're high on life and everything's great. So it's usually when you're kicked, when you're down, whether it's the person that yelled at you at the grocery store or something like that, it's a test for you to pass. And so there's teachers around us all the time. It's just, you have to pay attention to it. And the other thing that I would say also is that I feel like a lot of people are focused on just taking care of them and their family. And they don't think we've got to extend past our family. And so I think that's one of the big problems is I'll take care of me and mine, but you've got to stretch that arm. That's what our world is about. Like taking care of one another, that even if they don't have your last name or your blood or whatnot.
Absolutely. And I've really noticed that in this industry as well. It's hard. It's hard. And there's such a learning curve in this industry. And no matter, you know, what you're doing or what aspect you're doing, there's always something to learn. I find myself like constantly picking up another book. I don't know, understand how this works or that. There's so many things. And it's like, for such a large industry, we feel like it's a small industry when it comes to the people. There's always somebody that knows somebody, or that's 6 degrees of Hollywood, I like to call it. But it's amazing how vast it is for information and learning curve. There are so many aspects to learn about. There's always something new to learn. And it's like we never stop learning. That's one thing that I absolutely feel like every day I learn something new. And it'll probably be that way until I take the long dirt nap. But I really feel that way. It's, even the kids sometimes will teach you something new. It's, oh, interesting. Oh, yeah.
Animals will teach you something new. Yes. Like, I mean, it's all around us.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. For sure. It's so crazy. But what are you watching right now that you hands down just thought, wow, that blew me away. That was amazing.
Oh goodness. There's so many out there right now. Oh no, I'm on the spot. I really thought The Father was phenomenal. Did that interesting. The movie, have you seen that?
I haven't yet.
I didn't know what I was getting into. And then I think a lot of times it's really nice to not know what's really going to happen. Cause if you get all the reviews, then you already know. And that movie blew me away. I literally, from probably about 45 minutes after, I was talking to myself, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Everybody needs to watch this. Oh my gosh. Cause it blows past races, ages, sexes, everything. It relates to every single person. Whether they live long enough on this planet or even if they haven't lived that long. I don't know if I want to tell you what it's about, but that blew me away. Uh-huh. I also like the Billie Holiday movie.
Yes, I was just talking about that. That was, wow.
Yeah.
Andra Day, her first acting role, what? Wow. I wasn't sure kind of what to expect because it's like I knew some of the story in general, but to see her tell it and all of the actors that told it with her. It was amazing to me that she was up against so much.
And I still think Bombshell was awesome.
I do too. I thought that was well done too. And I had no idea that went on to that extent. As the Me Too stuff really kicked in, it was like, wow. Back in the day when Rose McGowan and Ashley Judd were speaking up and people weren't believing them, and come to find out they were absolutely telling the truth, and to have people try to silence them and say that they were lying, that really has to mess with you. Yeah. That had to be hard. The fact that they were resilient and made it through all of that, I was glad that they got that moment of redemption, that everyone had to really realize that this was a real thing, and it was on a huge, I don't know, just such, I don't know what the words I'm looking for, but just, it was so, yes, the scale, the massive scale that it was on. It was like, oh my goodness,
And still going. It's still going.
I
remember a statistic today that 97% of females have been sexually harassed. And I'm like, that's just crazy.
It isn't okay. It should have never been okay. But we're dealing with where we're at now, and if everybody could just care and think about how they want to be treated and how they want their sister to be treated and their mother to be treated and their neighbor, we can all be better people and treat people better.
Yeah, I think it would be amazing one day if we have girls that say, or women that have grown up and said they've never been sexually harassed or they've never encountered that kind of thing, like what we're all, or 50% of jobs are held by, you know, women, 50% men, 50% women, whatnot,
right?
That we have equality. And if we could actually get to that, like, that is just mind blowing to me. It's, I know we have a long ways to go, and it's sad. It's sad that we're, like we talked about, like in the 70s, that they were fighting this big movement and it still never passed.
What we're talking about is Mrs. America. They really show how things were and the fact that we were so close back then, so close. And then when things changed and who was president and things reverted back to the good old boys network again, we're so close to having women in office. And even the Republican woman who was pushing her agenda on one side thought she was going to make it into the office and got shut down. Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show you, had these women band together back then, it might have been a completely different story rather than them competing against each other. So if you have not seen Mrs. America yet, you have got to watch this. And moms, watch this with your daughters, because I had a discussion with my 101-year-old grandmother about it. She had 4 kids. She was a powerhouse, and I think the problem is that she didn't have a lot of girlfriends or anything because she didn't have a moment to herself, basically. So you're taking care of your family and you're isolated and, like you said, taking care of your own. But these women really didn't have any time left over and didn't really have the support in the household of their husbands to go do these things and to network, and it just wasn't deemed as important. Survival was important. Now it's extremely important. We have to have these conversations. We have to help move the needle and move us forward as women, because it is super important and it's all women. We all need to band together, and it doesn't matter where you come from and what your situation was, we all have something in common. And I think finding that common ground and listening to each other's stories and learning and understanding and figuring out how we can help each other and how we can support each other, it's a big thing. I'm really hoping that we can make a difference.
I want to applaud you for listening, because I think that's one of the big problems is people want to talk, but they don't want to hear other sides of the story. And one of the things we did with Rising Above was I got in a room with some women. It was a small room. I had the writer from the Huffington Post and whatnot, and we all talked about from various diversities of what we encounter. And they were open to listening to me. I was the white girl in the room, but they didn't really think that I had adversity, because being a blonde white girl, they thought, oh, you have the world at your feet. And when I explained to them, let me tell you my side of things, they were blown away. Like, we've never thought that way before. And I think that's what the big thing is, us having a conversation of, I'm not assuming that it's one way or the other, because we haven't walked in each other's shoes. We're never going to be able to walk into everybody's shoes, but at least being accepting of everybody's entitled to the way they feel and their experiences, and trying to be compassionate and understanding to each person and their situation. But then on the flip side, we are all human. We're all emotional. We all care, and we all want to be happy. So that one driving force of, we all have a common goal to be happy. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be happy.
Absolutely. And when it is easier to be happy, when you know you're supported and there are people out there that care and will listen to you. And that's, I think, the thing about women is that we've sat back for so long and we haven't asked the questions, and we haven't said, hey, tell me your story. Where'd you come from? And what was your life like? And because... And I have to give it to Taylor Swift, because there is a line in one of her songs where she says, because you don't know what you don't know. And that is so simple, but yet so powerful. That's exactly right. We don't know what we don't know, and we don't know unless we ask. And whether or not someone wants to tell us their story, that's up to them if they don't want to share their information. But I think 9 times out of 10, depending on the day someone's having, I think people to share their information and be helpful and figure out ways to bond with other people. And who doesn't want more friends, and who doesn't want contacts that they can reach out to and say, hey, I'm happy to help you with anything that you're working on or you need, or if I can help or I have a connection. We do need to make sure that everyone is included. And I think that is important. And we do want to see different types of people represented on the screen, whether it be people with disabilities, people of different diverse backgrounds, because they all have a story to tell. If we're not aware that everybody is out there, we can't start that dialogue, and we can't ask those questions, or, hey, did you see that? And start this conversation. And there have been so many great documentaries, and there's all the streamers and everything that's going on. There's just so much great information that's out there. We just can't get to it all. There's so much of it now. I think we could watch TV 24/7 and still not be able to watch it all. When someone says, you have to see this, change my life, or this was just so amazing. And this is the first time I'd heard about The Father. So now I'm on my list. Because I love it. If something really moves someone and they're inspired by it. My thing has been obviously Mrs. America and Billie Holiday lately, because those were things that I've watched that have just stuck with me.
Yeah. And something else that I wanted to say about what you were saying about, we need to have these conversations and open up. We can't get everything covered on the screen. But I was also thinking about, like, some taboo topics that I feel like ageism really isn't talked about. And it's really sad.
I loved seeing the flight attendant and seeing Rosie Perez on that show. I'm hoping that we see these actresses. We've seen them since they were young, and now that they're older, I want to see where they're at. I want to see what they're doing. I want to see Andie MacDowell now. And I want to see Sandra Bullock. And because now that we're aging too, I want to see all these people that I've followed and loved forever. When they were giving Carrie Fisher such a hard time. She was getting older, and it was like, oh, Harrison Ford is older too. It's what's the difference? She was still beautiful, and she was still such a great actress and fabulous. And it's, there shouldn't be a double standard. It shouldn't be, oh, men, they get older and they look, I don't know what it is.
Distinguished.
Distinguished. And then what? We're just old and haggard? What? It's no.
Yeah.
And again, I think that it's going to take women giving props, because we know there's going to be so much negativity coming down. We need to speak up and start pumping the positive, because it doesn't happen enough. And you know what it's like, you get out there and you start reading social media and comments, and you just, you take the negative to heart, and it's, you almost don't believe the positive as much as you believe the negative. We are our own worst critics. We don't need to hear it from somebody else.
Yeah.
We're hard enough on ourselves as women. And I just don't think men are the same. They might criticize, but I don't think men care as much, honestly. Yeah. Whatever, yeah. You know?
In general, yeah, I agree. Yeah,
I don't care. I think we take it more to heart, and we tend to believe all the bad things. And I don't know if that's just something that's been ingrained in us over the years, but we need to turn that around. Yeah. And every time we see another woman coming out that we feel good about what she did, we need to scream it from the rooftops and make sure that she hears it. So Andra Day, we think that you rocked, girl, for bringing Billie Holiday to life for us. And there needs to be more of that, for sure. Schitt's Creek, let's talk about older women. Oh my gosh, Catherine O'Hara.
She's awesome. I love her. Every time I see her, I'm like,
I honestly think that she's gotten even better with age.
Yeah.
She was so hilarious. We're quoting lines from her from Schitt's Creek still constantly, even to my mom. I will quote things to my mom because she watched it too, and then we'll laugh. And she was just such a great character on that show. And oh my gosh, she was brilliant, and she deserved to win those awards. She was brilliant, and what great writing. Kudos to the Leavies and what they brought to us. That was so needed during a time that there was just so much negativity and dread going on with COVID happening. And then everybody was able to, I didn't want it to end. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And it was so great to meet you and talk to you. I'm so glad you're in my universe. We definitely have to get together and do lunch or brunch or something again.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for having me on here and for what you're doing for females. It's unbelievable. It's really something to empower others. It's no other. A lot of people can't do it, and it is on a whole nother level. So I really want to thank you for changing the vibrations of the universe.
Aww.
Today's episode was executive produced by me, Brenda Fisher, and Jacqueline Reynolds. Editing and recording by Herman Villacorta.